This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Thursday, November 9th, 2023. Stand up for your country. Did you see the Republican debate last night? Well, if you did, you're in an elite group because about 5 million people watched it. Not a lot. And the reason is that there's no point watching it unless you're really a political hardcore person, because Trump will get the nomination unless, you know, something happens. It is Trump. So anything could happen tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday. But if the primaries were all wrapped up today, obviously he gets the nomination. And is that a good or a bad thing for the country? That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So I didn't watch the whole debate. I was in and out of it. I had to do News Nation with Cuomo last night and a whole bunch of other things. But I saw enough of it to know that there was nothing new. All right. I mean, it was the same old stuff. And you can't blame the candidates. If you're the governor of Florida, you're going to tell everybody what you did in Florida. If you're the ambassador of the United Nations, you're going to show off your foreign policy props. I mean, come on. If you're Vivek Ramaswamy, you're going to try to get attention, which he did. If you're Christie, you're going to hate Trump. That's it. They're the same stuff. But there was one part that did catch my attention, and that's TikTok. TikTok. So I'm not on any of this, all right? I hire people to be on it for me. I read regular books. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm occupied in trying to accumulate knowledge so I can do a good job analyzing the news. So I've never been on TikTok. I wouldn't know how to get on TikTok. But I'm going to tell you about it in case you don't know. So it is a social media app. That's number one. And the users of TikTok are allowed to send them stuff. All right. Videos, commentaries, and then you can post it. And then people watch it. Other people watch it. You can become semi-famous that way if you've got a creative streak going for you. The average length of the video is less than a minute. So it's like bang, 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 bang. And you're looking for attention. The average audience is 150 million a day in the USA. And overseas, it's a billion. So you can see this is a colossal enterprise. TikTok is owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance, ByteDance. So if you are a company in China, you do what you are told by the communist leadership. So you know that. Okay, so it's not like a company in the USA where you have some privacy rights, you have this, that, nothing like that. So China has access to TikTok. And the danger is, and some people believe, that the Chinese government is using TikTok to put out propaganda and to accumulate information from different parts of the world, including America. all right? And to get messages to younger Americans about a whole variety of things that the Chinese communists want to put out there. That's the objection. Okay. So at the debate, this came up. TikTok. What should the government do about TikTok? Chris Christie was the strongest. Go.
So in my first week as president, we would ban TikTok. They want to go ahead and sell it? Let them go ahead and sell it. But I'll tell you another reason we would do it. Facebook's not in China. X is not in China. They're not permitting a free flow of information to the Chinese people from our social media companies, yet we just open the door and let them do what they're doing. TikTok should be banned because they are poisoning American minds, and I would do it week one.
That was a strong answer. And if you go the economic route that China bans Facebook and other American companies, then you're going to go around the First Amendment. Okay, because even though it's a foreign company, First Amendment rights apply in the USA. So if you just say, well, I'm going to ban TikTok because I don't like TikTok, you run into legal problems. If you go, no, if you're the president, because they're not doing fair trade, this is where they're going to get hammered. That's the way to go. Now, the TikTok thing prevailed throughout the middle of the debate, and then it got controversial. Go.
Mr. Ramaswamy, we've talked about this. You campaign on TikTok. How do you get TikTok banned if you use it?
Well, I want to laugh at why Nikki Haley didn't answer your question, which is about looking at families in the eye. In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Adult daughter. The next generation of Americans are using it. And that's actually the point. You have her supporters propping her up. That's fine. Here's the truth.
You're just
the easy answer.
Okay. Now, Ramaswamy didn't do himself any good. You can't bring the family in. I just can't. I know Vivek, he's been on the program. I admire his spunk, but you can't do that. All right. So calling him scum, I'm not sure that that was, but it got a lot of attention, obviously. Democrats love all this, by the way. They love all this kind of stuff. Anyway, that was the high point of the debate. And preliminary ratings, 5 million people watched it. Second debate, 9 million. First debate, 13 million. No Trump presence. In fact, I think Trump probably got more TV viewers on Newsmax, which is the Trump network, when they ran his speech in Hialeah, just a few miles away from the Miami debate. Probably Trump got more viewers than the debate did, interestingly enough. We'll have those numbers for you on Monday, because they go up and down, in and out. There's a whole bunch of ways you can watch stuff. Summing up, it's over right now, okay? There's going to be another debate. News Nation's going to have it in December. And the process is the process. I don't object to the process at all. But unless something unforeseen happens, and again, with Trump, anything could happen. So he's got it locked, and that's the memo. The rally that Trump gave, I did dip in there a few times, primarily was a grievance rally, which is what Donald Trump is selling, that he's the victim. And in some cases, he is a victim. But that's the truth. This New York City thing is so corrupt, it's beyond belief. So in some cases, Trump's a victim. But he is obsessed now with Biden. Roll the tape.
Crooked Joe Biden and the radical left Democrats are turning the United States into communist Cuba. The Biden regime is trying to put their political opponents in jail, shutting down free speech, taking bribes and kickbacks to enrich themselves and their very spoiled children. But we're here tonight to declare that Crooked Joe Biden's banana republic ends on November 5th, 2024. But under the crooked Joe Biden, we were weak and soft and in danger like never before, and that continues. So he can't get off the stage, he can't put two sentences together, and he's in charge of our nuclear talks. This is the closest we've ever been to World War III.
So there you go. Okay. You're up to speed. So Hillary Clinton surfaces yesterday on The View, of course. All right. And she said something which I believe you're going to hear more and more and more of. Go.
Well, you know, when I was Secretary of State, I used to talk about one and done. And what I meant by that is that people would get legitimately elected, and then they would try to do away with elections and do away with opposition and do away with a free press. And you could see it in countries where, well, Hitler was duly elected.
That's right.
Right? And so all of a sudden, somebody with those tendencies, those dictatorial, authoritarian tendencies, would be like, oh, okay, we're going to shut this down. We're going to throw these people in jail. And they didn't usually telegraph that. Trump is telling us what he intends to do.
So Trump is Hitler now. You're going to hear more of that. So Trump's going to say that Biden is Castro, Cuba, communist Cuba. And then the Democrats are going to know Hitler. Trump is Hitler. Biden's Castro. You know, you got to almost laugh at this because that's what we're going to hear over and over and over again. So Joe Biden is on another money grab on our dime. He goes to Illinois and he gives a speech about good paying union jobs. OK, but the real reason he's there is he does a campaign reception in Chicago. He'll rake in a lot of money for the reelection campaign, of which I don't think he's going to be a part. Now, interestingly enough, the Working Families Party is now starting to actively support Joe Biden. Do you know what the Working Families Party is? Do you know what it is? It's a socialist party. And they call themselves working class, but family, but no, it's not. So just keep an eye on that. We are. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. All right, a House Oversight Committee, that's Comer. I believe it's Comer. Is that Comer or Jordan? I can't tell anymore. No, it's Comer. That's right the first time. Subpoenas Hunter Biden, James Biden, and another business associate of Hunter. Okay? So they have to come in and talk about all the millions of dollars that went to the Biden family in front of the Congressional Committee. Here was the reaction from the White House. Go.
This is an investigation that has been going on for a year now and has turned up zero evidence of wrongdoing by the president because there is none. But Republicans continue to double down on a baseless smear campaign against the president and his family.
Okay. We don't know when the Bidens are supposed to show up or how that's going to come down, whether it's going to be a private transcribed interview or public in front of TV cameras. But I can't imagine Hunter and Jim Biden not taking the fifth, as I said yesterday. I can't imagine them answering any questions. And then they want volunteer interviews from Sarah Biden, James Biden's wife, Hallie Biden, Elizabeth Secundi, you know, all the family members. Okay. Look, all I can tell you is that the two House committees want to impeach Joe Biden. They know they're not going to get conviction, but want to do to Biden what was done to Trump. That's the end game here. Okay, new poll. Tip poll. I don't trust this poll, but, you know, 1,400 Americans, and they asked about it, Israel, Hamas. First question. Generally speaking, in the Israel-Hamas conflict, do you side more with Israel or Hamas? Overall, not sure, 31. Hamas 11, Israel 58. All right, that's a pretty good plurality there. Democrats not sure, 26. Hamas 20, 20% of Democrats side with the terrorists. Wow. Israel 54, Republicans not sure, 22. Hamas 7, Israel 71. Independents not sure, 44. Hamas 6, Israel 50. So you got 20% of Democrats siding with terrorists, people who murder women and children. That's not good. And Democrat Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz a little teed off about it. Roll it.
I would hope that all members would support a resolution that condemns terrorism, the brutal attacks that were perpetrated against the Israeli people that were killed. We have 218 hostages. They took 222. Someone who votes against this, I would think, doesn't have a soul.
Well, 20% of your party doesn't have a soul then. Right, Debbie? With all due respect. So anti-Semitism is obviously a big story in this country, and, you know, nobody knows what's in people's hearts. But certainly if you support Hamas, you're anti-Semitic, okay? I mean, there's no wiggle room out of that. So there are 6 million Jews in America, 7 million in Israel, all right? 6 million in America. Yet American Jews have a disproportionate amount of wealth and power. Why? Because they are well-educated, generally speaking. They work very, very hard, okay? And they are organized. That's why they're succeeding in our capitalist society. Not only that, but they control a large part of the entertainment and news industry. All right, in Hollywood, there are, I mean, I got the list here of powerful people, and it is formidable and always has been. Always has been. Louis B. Mayer, all of these old movie moguls, they're all Jewish. But there is a problem now in that community because there is a tendency for American Jews to vote liberal. I think that's an accurate statement, okay? Most Jewish Americans are liberal. But now the liberals are against Israel, at least 20% of them. So there's a conflict. And I wondered why, how these movie moguls in Hollywood are handling that. So who best to ask, and a guy who's been in Hollywood since Walt Disney, Ben Stein, he's the author of a new book, which is a good book. I'm reading it now. The Peacemaker, Nixon, the Man, President, and My Friend. Just out, and you should check it out. Mr. Stein, it was a speech writer for President Nixon, a Yale grad, not going to hold that against him. And he joins us now from L.A. So in the showbiz community, you know, the criticisms of Israel have been pretty muted, I have to say. Because they are progressive far left. There's a big cadre of them. How are you seeing it?
I see it the same way it always is, that the Jews in Hollywood in very large measure have substituted the worship of the Lord God Almighty for the worship of Karl Marx. And this has been going on for a long time, although as Hollywood is not all one stone, one monolith, one might say. There's the studio heads before the war, before World War II, they were all Jewish, and they were all quite conservative, very, very conservative. And then the writers and actors, they were very left-wing. Not all, but very many of them. And those people have become ever more powerful and prevalent in terms of their political views. People who are running the studios nowadays are not the same kind of people who are running the studios in the days of Louis B. Mayer, was in any way before the war, but certainly before the Vietnam War. And just by dint of burrowing from the inside out, the powerful leftists in Hollywood have taken over Hollywood. And it's very much a shame. It's a tragedy, in fact. It's a disgrace to the Jewish people because Hollywood was one of the few clearly on Israel's side entities in America. And now we have very devout Christians. They're even better. But Hollywood has changed. They're still Jewish.
Yeah, I don't see any.
Right wing. Right.
I don't see any outright support of Israel. And maybe I missed it. But look, you got Jeffrey Katzenberg, one of those powerful executives in Hollywood. He's heading up Biden's reelection campaign and money raiser. You got Ari Emanuel. You got Steven Spielberg. I mean, you got powerful, very, very wealthy people funding progressive causes all day long. But on the Israel thing, they're muted. I haven't seen any demonstrations in Hollywood pro-Israel. Have you? Have you seen any of that?
I belong to a group called the Republican Jewish Coalition. And but we are nowhere near, not even remotely, at the level of power, wealth, and influence of the people whose names you just mentioned. And I don't see it either. And it's a very, very heartrending, or as my wife would say, heart-rendering situation. And I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand it. If Hollywood cannot be for the Israel state, the state of the Jewish people, I don't know who can.
I'm waiting for some, you know, organized thing out of Hollywood supporting Israel. I have not seen it. But the one thing that I have seen is that Hollywood now supports the cancel culture big time. Because I
big
know
time. Big,
right,
big time.
I know a lot of people, not as many as you, but I know a lot of people in the showbiz industry. And a lot of them are moderate conservative. And they say, if I say one word that's not left wing, I don't work. And that's across the board.
I've seen that in my own life. And I've seen it happen to me very cruelly, I think, because I helped produce, write, and star in, so to speak, a documentary which said that God created the earth and people and creatures on it and not evolution. And for that, I was really very much barred from Hollywood for a very long time and still am. And that's a horrifying situation. People don't know this, but I'm going to share with you because you're my pal. Before the actual breakout of war between the U.S. and Nazi Germany, Hollywood sent representatives to Hitler's Germany and invited representatives from Hitler's Germany to come to Hollywood to screen Hollywood movies and make sure they were not saying anti-German, anti-Nazi things, because they did not want to offend the German and German-speaking audience in Europe. And this is, as I say, something not everyone knows, but it was a disgrace and it happened. And I think it's, in a way, still happening. And very, very, very bad news, disgraceful. And I don't know what else I could say about it, except if it's bad news and it's disgraceful, it's really a bad thing. Thank God for the evangelical Christians. Thank God for them.
Sure. And not only that, but the Roman Catholics, and they're all staunchly against the terrorists and pro-Israel in this regard. Now, I'm learning a lot from your book, which is my litmus test to read any book. And one of the things that I learned that I had no idea was that Richard Nixon was a hero in the Yom Kippur War of 1973. Now, for people who don't remember that, Egypt and Syria attacked Israel, and Israel was ill-prepared for the attack, almost exactly the same that happened in October with Hamas. And Israel was fighting for its life in 1973. And Nixon okayed a new technology, and sent it to Golda Meir and the Israeli government that made it more difficult for the Syrians and the Egyptians to launch their rockets. And it was a new technology. And Nixon's advisors did not want to send that over. But Nixon overrode everybody and did it. An amazing fact.
Even Mr. Kissinger, obviously a Jew, people often think I'm Kissinger, even though I'm much younger than Kissinger. Kissinger said, no, you'll get us in terrible trouble with the Arabs. Nixon said, I don't care. This is right. It's just right that the Russians cannot be allowed to dominate the Middle East by sending these super good jamming devices that jam the electronics in the Israeli Air Force. And Nixon said, I want to hear the sound of the jet engines taking off from Andrews Air Force Base with the devices that will help the Israeli Air Force. That saved Israel.
Were you surprised because you were You were there. And were you surprised that Nixon overrode all his advisors?
I was very surprised. Not at all, because bear in mind, I don't know how well you remember this. My father was chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors of the president under President Nixon and Ford. And he was pleading, along with several other high-ranking Jewish people at the White House, for Nixon to help Israel. But I think Nixon would have done it anyway. Nixon's mother had said to him, when Nixon was a young man, you will someday be given the chance to help the Jewish people, the children of God. You will be given that chance. It will be a gigantic historical chance. Go ahead and do it, and you will be in the history books forever as the person who saved the children of God.
But you know what? Everybody's forgotten it, which is why they should read the book, The Peacemaker, Nixon, the Man President, and my friend, Ben Stein. Hey, Ben, always good to see you, man. You know?
Good to see you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless every word you said.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Minnesota, they try to get Trump off the ballot. As I told you, that's unconstitutional, and that's what the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled, so Trump will be on a ballot in Minnesota and every other state in the union. So, you know, look, these people are going to try. It was funny to hear Hillary Clinton go, oh, I don't want to shut down our government. And then you got Minnesota, Colorado, and other states trying to get Trump off the ballot illegally. What about that? You think the ladies on The View could have put that question together? Sure. Warner Brothers, CNN, okay? Discovery. Their revenue has sunk big time. Ad revenue down 19%. And the stock price is down. Everything's down. So I think, you know, CNN is in play. I do. They just hired a new CEO, some British guy. But I think, you know, somebody steps up, they can buy that network. I'm not going to do it. I'm happy where I am. This day in history, November 9th, 1620. Oh, this is a great story. The Mayflower, right? Okay. 66 days on the North Atlantic finally shows up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Only they weren't supposed to be there. The Puritans were supposed to be in Virginia. That's where the Mayflower was supposed to go. So the Mayflower takes off from Plymouth, England, 100 people on board, okay? Sails across, harrowing journey. I mean, that is a big part of killing the witches. We put you right on the Mayflower where you don't want to be. Okay? It is, you know, everybody goes, oh, Thanksgiving, pilgrims, pass the stuffing. No, it was incredibly painful and everywhere else. So that's a big part of killing witches. Anyway, they show up 403 years ago today to Cape Cod. Now, if you've ever been to Cape Cod, it's out in the Atlantic Ocean, way out. And it can't stay there because it's too windy and cold. So they take the Mayflower a couple of days after that and they go in, all right, to the bay. And then they go to Plymouth. Now, there is no Plymouth Rock. That's a tourist thing. Then they go to Plymouth. So there's 100 of them, about, approximately. Some of them die, but half die after they get off the boat, half of them, because it's brutal. It's cold, there's nothing to eat, there's hostile Native Americans. Native Americans saved them, Squanto and the crew, and we go all through this in Killing the Witches. But the interesting part of this story is this. They show up here, and this is really the foundation of our country. There were plantations in Jamestown and Virginia, but they didn't have an organized government. All right. In Massachusetts, they did. But it was a theocracy. It was dominated by religion. And it got so far out of control that Salem happened. But when you read the accounts of the people that actually came over here, how hard it was for them to survive. I mean, my God. And see, this is not taught in any school. So this Thanksgiving, you know, if you get Killing the Witches and read it, and you'll have a lot of conversation across the table, and there's a lot of myths involved in our little Thanksgiving profile, and you should know the truth. So that happened. The Mayflower landed 403 years ago today. Back with mail and a final thought about booze, alcohol. It's glamorous again now in America. You know, George Clooney, Casamigos, again, drinking, all of that. That's my final thought. Back in a moment. Okay, let's get to the mail. We go to Valerie. I was very disappointed that more Republicans didn't win in this week's election. I think it's a sign that the American people do not associate economic pain with the Democratic Party, maybe not even with Joe Biden. Valerie, it wasn't about economics. This was about one or two issues that had nothing to do with the big picture. And the Democrats are simply more motivated on abortion than the Republicans were. That's what it was. Cliff Belas, Paradise, California. I think we both know, Bill, that the real problem is the Republican Party is a bunch of lazy, self-centered individuals. There's a long list of these people. Look, I'm not going to condemn the Republican Party. I will tell you there's no leadership. I mean, when you don't have a leader, Barack Obama is a leader of the Democratic Party. Still, to this day. Guns don't have a Trump's not a Republican, as I've said many, many times. Kevin McDaniel, Las Vegas. Bill, I heard your comments recommending the emphasis of adoption. Kudos. Thank you for illuminating the higher road. I could never figure out why the Republican Party, local, state, and federal, doesn't put forth legislation that the government would help the adoption agencies. If it's all about saving lives, which for me it is, okay, that gives a very vivid choice. You can destroy the unborn, abortion, or you can save them, adoption. Why don't they do that? It drives me nuts. Dr. Richard Mancuso, Riverview, Florida. Bill Terrera, I disagree with you, but the Republicans shot themselves in the foot with the Supreme Court ruling against Roe. To make matters worse, some red states are restricting abortion to an unreasonable degree. Well, number one, Republicans didn't have anything to do with Roe v. Wade. That was a Supreme Court thing, and politics did not enter into it, doctor, so we do have a disagreement there. I don't know about shooting anybody in the foot, but there is an element when you get into rape and incest. That's unreasonable. I will agree with you there. Mike Critaro, Canastowa, New York. This country is not strong enough to do what is hard, like JFK said at Rice University in 1962. Only pain and suffering will wake people up. Bill, you might be packing your bags for Ireland. Not yet. This country, look, my own experience is I live on Long Island, which has gone red from blue. If it can happen here, the center of the media in the world and all the corruption that comes along with the media, it can happen here, happen everywhere. Maybe not California. Lloyd, it was better that Corinne Jean-Pierre gave the answer she gave instead of the one Wisconsin native suggested. We're talking about Tlaib, I guess, because it showed her heartlessness. Pierre tried to appease both the donors to her party and her left-wing flank. You know how I feel about the spokesperson for the president. David, concierge member, David gets direct access to me. So please consider concierge membership. Great Christmas present for yourself. Or you give a little gift card, BillO'Reilly.com. Concierge membership, believe me, whoever you give that to will thank you for the entire year. So David says Newsom's popularity is tanking here in California because of economics and especially non-prosecution of crime. Okay, you're probably right. And taxes, too. You guys can't even walk out of the house without getting taxed out there. Jay Yao, Pleasant Hill, Louisiana. What was your take on the late Paul Harvey? Did he mentor you? No, but I had a good relationship with him. He did a couple of items on the killing books. And we talked on the phone a few times. I think he admired what I brought to television. And I certainly admired what he brought to radio. Okay, BillO'Reilly.com, Hanukkah Christmas store. We got gift cards, as we just showed you. But the big thing this season is the bundle of all 13 killing books. All right. And then if you buy this bundle and you have 13 separate gifts there, you get the free live show that I did for WABC at Huntington, Long Island 2 weeks ago. And we're not giving that out. That's not going to be seen. You get it free. So please check that out. Word of the day, do not be a poltroon, P-O-L-T-R-O-O-N. All right. So are you like to booze it up? You like the little drink at night? All right. Stick around for the final thought. Here is the final thought of the day. According to the Economic Cooperation and Development Organization, okay, binge drinking is rising all over the world. Okay, that's where you want to get drunk as fast as you can. And then you want to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, here are the biggest binge drinking countries in the world. Number one, Denmark. Uh-oh. To Romania. I never drink wine. Who said that? Dracula. Three, Britain. Four, Luxembourg. Five, Germany. Six, Belgium. Seven, Australia. Eight, Ireland. Nine, Iceland. 10, USA. They're the biggest binge drinking countries in the world. Here are the least binge drinking countries. Turkey, I guess you get your hand chopped off if you drink. Italy, Greece, Spain, Slovak Republic, Bulgaria, right next to Romania. So they're boozing it in Romania, but not in Bulgaria. Hungary, Estonia, Latvia, Portugal. Portugal, got a lot of wine, all of that over there. So anyway, look, 26% of men globally, so they binge drink. 12% of women. I thought that stat was interesting. Now, binge drinking, and I hate to be a holy roller here. That's not where I'm coming from at all. We're looking out for you. Smart life, right? Okay. Bad things happen when you lose control of yourself. Would we all agree? Can we all agree? I mean, most of the terrible things in my life happened when I made a mistake, when I wasn't fully in control of what I was doing. I don't drink. I've never drank, ever, my whole entire life. Because when I was in high school, when drinking usually starts, I was playing four sports. So I was sweating all of the time. I was training all of the time. And I didn't have any inclination. I remember going once to a party. Good friend of mine, parents went to Florida, foolishly left him in charge of the house at 18 years old. So he throws a party and everybody gets drunk and throws up in the house and destroys the house and the cops have to come. And I watched it. And I said, you know what? Not doing this. And then when I went to college, it's drinking like crazy. He was 18 then in New York, drinking age. Everybody was drinking all this. And they're falling down. They're cutting themselves. They were getting in accidents. And I'm like, oh, what is this? You know, I could never see it. And then I added to that my grandfather on my mother's side, who died of cirrhosis of the liver because he was drinking all the time. And my cousin, who I really liked, he died at 37 from booze. I didn't see those men a lot, but I knew what was going on. My parents didn't drink much. I never saw my parents inebriated. Ever. I mean, that was a big thing. So if you are raised by parents who, you know, throwing them down, you're more likely to do that. Same thing with smoking pot. If you smoke pot in front of your kids, shame on you. Okay? Because that kid's going to see that. And so when I read this binge drinking thing, I'm not going to generalize about behavior because it's not right to do that, but I will reinforce this. Nothing good comes from being inebriated. That's why you feel so badly the next morning. Your body's going, what are you doing? All right, and your mind, if you're in, this is the pot thing, drives me nuts. You're putting chemicals into your brain. What are you doing? You got to respect yourself, right? And again, I don't want to get into holy roller territory here. I don't want to do that. Final thought here. So I got a lot of friends. I'm very lucky in that area. And most, I had breakfast last weekend with guys in the neighborhood I've known for 60 years. And we're still still friends. None of my friends are drinkers. They'll have a cocktail now and then. A few of them, once in a while, will get a little this and that. But when they do, all the other guys around mock them. It's like reverse. Okay, so if you get a little blasted, then in my crew, you're the object of derision. Hey, what are you doing now? You can't hold your, well, that kind of stuff. And I think it's me primarily because people know I don't drink. And then that inhibits them from doing that around me. I get it. But I have kind of passed that along to my urchins. And I said, look, I've saved, and this is absolutely true, about $3 million in my life by not drinking. Add it up. Cocktails now in any lounge or any bar running from 10 to 15 bucks. Okay? Add it up. I never had that tab. You know, I'm drinking, when I did drink soda, which I don't anymore, I drink Sprite. Or something. Now I drink a little water with lime or lemon. You know, the bartenders hate me. They just hate me. But I told, I said, look, I save so much money by not drinking and buying drugs. You can't even imagine. And I use that money to travel, to have a nice house, all right, to give away to charities that help kids and vets, you know. So there's so many reasons not to do it. I wanted to take your time, and I apologize if I'm rambling on a final thought to weigh in on the booze thing. And now it's glamorous. Of course, George Clooney's got the little booze thing, and what's his name? Puff Daddy's got it, and the guy on the beach. I keep getting old. They're all boozing up. I know they're getting paid. I know the commercials. I got it. But it's glamorous now to drink. But in reality, it's not. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. New column on Sunday, BillO'Reilly.com. If you want to reach me, Bill@BillO'Reilly.com, name and town. We'll see you on Monday. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.